Now, President Trump's win in Wisconsin 2 years ago surprised a lot of people, maybe no one more than Wisconsin Democrats. The first time the state went for a Republican presidential nominee in more than 3 decades, and our next guest says the loss left the party shell-shocked. Fast forward to 2018, the party's mood has started to recover with talk of a possible blue wave and a few early indicators of an enthusiastic Democratic base. David Siders is a national political correspondent with Politico. In a recent piece, he talked to close to 24 party officials, candidates, and operatives about the party's strategy for this year's midterms and their hopes for 2020. David, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Great to be here.
Will you start your piece with that upset win of President Trump nationally, of course, and here in Wisconsin in 2016? Can you talk about the mood of Wisconsin Democrats after that?
Well, I think it was just so deeply felt there. You know, Wisconsin had been teetering for a while. As you know, Scott Walker was elected 3 times in that state. And I think there were always signs of conservative strength there, but in a presidential election, it had been forever since it had turned. And so I think there was a lot of shock, and afterwards a lot of reckoning among Democrats, you know, blame about Hillary Clinton and how much time she did or didn't spend in the state. And then also, as in the rest of the country, but, you know, Democrats looking at each other in places like Milwaukee and Madison and wondering what the heck was going wrong, you know, everywhere outside of the suburbs.
And you mentioned the presidential election year, and it seemed to be the pattern and I think maybe the attitude for Democrats. Okay, they're losing in the midterms, which that includes the governor's office, but they always have the presidential election year that seemed to bring out turnout for Democrats, and that 2016 really shook that for Democrats.
Well, that's right. It had been, what, since 1984, I think, that Wisconsin had gone for a Republican. So of the states that, you know, those kind of swing Midwest states, Wisconsin, I mean, Pennsylvania was big too, but Pennsylvania had gone for a Republican more recently than Wisconsin. Same with Michigan. So there was something special, I think, about Wisconsin, just like there is with your neighbor Minnesota, which, you know, went for Hillary Clinton, but Trump was within a couple of percentage points there, and now I think a lot of the focus is shifting, you know, to whether he might even be able to pick up Minnesota. So those, you know, Wisconsin in particular, I think, was viewed as a Democratic stronghold for presidential year anyway.
And now you've been talking to Democrats in 2018. What kind of things are you hearing from them about maybe what went wrong in 2016 and how they're trying to fix that in 2018?
Well, mostly I think they don't want to talk anymore about what went wrong in 2016. But there's definitely blame, I think, they cast on Hillary Clinton for not campaigning in the state. There were organizers in Wisconsin who'd been arguing that she should spend more time in the state, and that didn't happen. It's not clear that would have tipped the scale. She had surrogates there, after all. And then for 18, you hear them, like everywhere, Democrats talk about enthusiasm, which polls suggest is real, that there's an enthusiasm gap with Democrats more energized about this midterm election than Republicans. And it'll be interesting to see what effect the Supreme Court, you know, the Kennedy retirement news has on that enthusiasm, especially in a state like yours where you have a senator up. So that's interesting. But I think the most important thing in Wisconsin is the money. There's millions of dollars pouring into that state from outside Democratic groups who are spending that money to register and get out voters. And I think that's what you look at is, well, you know, that's real investment as opposed to just enthusiasm. And it's paid off for Democrats. You've seen these special elections in Wisconsin where Democrats have made real gains. And so if you're an outside investor looking for a place to spend money, that's the kind of success you want to see is, you know, these big Trump districts flipping and a lot of money from outsiders being spent to do it.
Talking to David Siders, national political correspondent with Politico, talking about Democratic strategy, Democrats in Wisconsin hoping to make a comeback in 2018 and 2020. We'll be doing a similar conversation about Republicans in the next few days or maybe next week. That's not locked down yet. David, let's talk about party organization. I think it's conventional wisdom, and I think most people agree, Republicans in the state seem to be better organized as a political party, for their ground game as well, than Democrats. I've seen some people sympathetic to Democrats saying they'd put a lot of faith in public employee unions in particular to do a lot of the work of the party for them. That has changed. Their ability to do that has gone down, and the Democrats haven't really filled the gaps. Is that something you're hearing from Democrats this year?
Oh, definitely. I mean, the Walker organization is recognized nationally as one of the GOP's best state-level organizations in the country. And so if you're a Democrat in Wisconsin, that's a tall lift to compete with. And I think, you know, since 2016, the party is trying to do that. The state party hired an organizing director early last year, which was unusual or maybe unprecedented for Democrats there in an off-cycle year. And then they've added, you know, a half dozen or more staffers right away, and now they have, I think, more than a couple dozen people statewide who are working on the midterms in preparation for 2020. So there's an effort by the state party to try to match what Walker has going in Wisconsin, and then you add to that this outside money and candidate organizing, and I think they think they have a level shot.
A wrap on President Obama was that he had this great high-tech outreach campaign for his presidential elections, and that helped Democrats each time he ran. And he didn't really translate that into something that would help state and local candidates and parties. Is that something you heard here in the state?
Yeah, it was definitely a wrap on him and on the DNC as well, the National Committee. And the National Committee has taken, you know, Obama is just now stepping into the midterms. You see him doing a couple of fundraisers. I think he has one in Los Angeles later this week and then maybe San Francisco. So he's kind of edging back into engagement with raising money for the midterms after really being quiet for quite a long time. But the DNC made moves more quickly, and they started allocating money to these state parties to try to do this kind of maintenance-level organizing in non-presidential years. And the money's not a ton, but I think it's been appreciated by state parties.
There's the old Will Rogers quote, something like, "I don't belong to an organized political party, I'm a Democrat." Do you get a sense of that, like, Democrats feeling like, hey, we're really not functioning like we should be?
I think after the presidential, you definitely did. I mean, there was so much angst in Wisconsin. But at least, and forgive me, I grew up in Minnesota. I now live in Los Angeles. I can't pretend to be have my finger on the pulse of what it means to be a Democrat in Wisconsin. But from the time I spent there talking with folks, I do get a sense that it's a more optimistic mood and a more a unified feeling, I think, among Democrats, certainly than they had after the presidential loss.
You also talked to some Republicans as part of this story you did. Governor Walker has sounded the alarm after the special election results you mentioned. But in talking to Republicans, are they saying, hey, we've been doing pretty good here, we got a good ground game, we're not so worried?
No, Republicans are very concerned. I think there's two reasons for them to publicly say they're very concerned. One is that it's honest, it's reflected in the polls, that there is an enthusiasm gap. Republicans have taken some significant losses early in these special elections. So it would be silly, I think, for them to look at the landscape and say they don't have a problem. They do. The other reason they want to say, you know, that we have a problem and we're concerned about it is it signals to donors that they need help. And I think that's been important for them. You see Scott Walker volunteering on Twitter that, you know, this is a wake-up call, he'll say, or after a special election, or he'll point out these deficiencies, I think, and the reason for doing that is so that Republicans don't become complacent in the midterm.
How does President Trump factor into all of this? He overturned, I think, whether you like him or not, he overturned a lot of expectations in 2016. Did you hear party insiders on either or both sides talking about his role in the 2018 midterms?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think just like everybody else, Trump will factor heavily in elections in some areas of the state. And in others, you'll see, you know, both Republicans and Democrats try not to bring him up so much, to make it a more localized election. I think they're out of luck. I think this is going to be a nationalized election. It already is. Your special elections have already taken on national coloring. It's a midterm election. It's going to be a referendum on Trump. And I think it'll be front and center.
Talking to David Siders, national political correspondent with Politico, looking at his reporting, looking at Wisconsin Democrats and their strategy for this year's midterms, and looking ahead to 2020 and the presidential election. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a Democrat here in Wisconsin? Are you seeing this enthusiasm gap? Do you think your party is more engaged? And do you see that happening, that affecting organization here in the state and campaign activity? If you're a Republican, are you worried about losing a lot of the gains your party has made over the years? If you're watching from the middle, if there is such a thing anymore, what do you think? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our conversation with David Siders from Politico about Wisconsin Democrats' strategy going into 2018 and 2020. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a Democrat in Wisconsin, what do you think your party's message should be? What do you want to hear your candidates talking about? Should they be talking about President Trump? Should they be talking about local issues? What? How about Republicans? Are you worried about the Democrats making gains this year? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. John is with us in Janesville. John, hi.
How are you doing?
Good. What do you think?
With the things that's been going on lately, with Trump bullying people and stuff, and doing the tax break that was for the supposed to be the middle class, but it ended up being for the rich, and then with Paul Ryan trying to get rid of Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, I used to vote for who I thought was the best person for the position, but this year this fall, I'm going to vote just straight Democrat.
John, thanks a lot for the call. I know political scientists argue over that, voting for the person or the party issue, David. But this is at least one voter who says what he's seeing from President Trump and fellow Republicans locks him in as a Democratic voter this year.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I think it's so interesting what, John, what you point out is the your concerns that are, did I hear issues about the economy and health care? I think I heard that, and not for example, Russia or the Supreme Court. And I think that's interesting, and it's certainly what the Democrats hope folks are voting on in November.
Thanks for that call, John. For Democratic strategy, I think one thought might be, if people already are worried about President Trump and don't like President Trump, Democrats really don't need to remind them, and they have the luxury of turning to those other more basic issues. They're probably not going to sway people who haven't already made up their mind about President Trump.
I think that's right, and I think 2016, if they didn't know beforehand, was the indicator that running against Trump or singularly running against Trump is not going to work. Now, one problem they have, at least in the midterms, is that the broad economic numbers are still very good. Unemployment in important states is still low. Stock market's in relatively good shape. You see a real push, or you will see a returned push, rather, to healthcare as something that they say, this is driving up your individual costs, even if the overall economic indicators are relatively positive.
Let's go to another caller now. Joanne is with us in Milwaukee. Joanne, hi.
Hi. I have a question and comment. With the possibility of the Democratic National Convention coming to Milwaukee in 2020, what do you think that's going to do on people's minds, do to people's minds? And do you think Donald Trump is going to try and undermine that effort?
Joanne, thanks for the call. David, does having a convention in a state, you think, help at least rally enthusiasm for voters in that state?
I don't know, Joanne. I think it'll definitely improve beer sales in Milwaukee. And I know folks are really excited about it. The contingent from Milwaukee that's been advocating at these Democratic meetings is just, it's really enthusiastic, and definitely, they have a desire. I think there's mixed opinion about whether a convention in a state matters, and historically, I think the answer is not so much. It's more important that the convention be in a place with enough hotel rooms and enough transportation and whatnot. I don't think it has a strong endgame impact, especially since the Democrats are holding an earlier convention. In 2020, it'll be in July.
Thanks for that call, Joanne. We'll go next to Tom in Green Bay. Tom, hi. Tom, are you there?
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm here. Yeah, I was just thinking that I know a lot of people who are moderate that don't feel like they have a voice, that both parties have hijacked the radical elements, be it radical right or radical left, and maybe we need a third party in America called the American Party, which is moderate and goes down the middle of the road, that does the most good for the most Americans, and we get these radical fringe voices off the airwaves. I know that doesn't sell commercials or news, but that's what's needed for the country.
Well, Tom, come election day, how do you make a decision then if you're worried about each party being, as you say, hijacked by the fringes?
I think that's the tough choice, because unless you get a guy like Warren Buffett and Bill Gates and all these multi-billionaires to put their money behind a candidate that is not either one of the established parties, it'll never happen in this country. It runs on money, and people need to put money behind sanity, which is the middle of the road.
Tom, thanks for the call. Tom, says he and people, you know, not really excited about either party. Do you see kind of the polarization we see in politics and the media, David, just putting people off of politics, period?
Well, I see his frustration with polarization. I think, though, I would say that the electorate's had opportunities to elect more centrist candidates. I mean, Democrats picked Hillary Clinton as a more centrist Democrat than the alternative in that primary, Bernie Sanders. And in the Republican primary, there were, you know, John Kasich would have been a centrist choice, for example. There are centrist or more centrist candidates who run in these races. And I think it's, at least the evidence of 16 is that the electorate as a whole, well, maybe that's not even true, because Hillary Clinton did win the popular vote. I mean, she was probably a more centrist, well, she was definitely more centrist than Bernie Sanders. And Trump, you have to say, is like, he was not Ted Cruz when he was running. It, you know, say whatever you will about him, his policies did not necessarily seem like far right wing policies on most issues, except for, say, immigration. So I think the electorate's been mixed, at least in its reaction to your caller there, or his whether it feels like he does.
Tom, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We're talking to David Siders from Politico. He wrote about Wisconsin's Democratic primary, their strategy to try to make up lost ground in 2018. Back to your calls. Troy is with us in Muskego. Troy, hi.
Hello. I'm a Democrat. But I was a big Bernie Sanders guy, so I just want to say that I think for Democrats to actually pull it off, they need to focus on two major things, which is, and these are things that when you talk to Republicans that are on the fence about, they actually, with even business owners, would probably support universal health care if they just focused on universal health care. And I think they really, really need to focus on wages, and not just raising minimum wages, but just how minimum wages affect regular wages for you know, if someone's making 15, well, then the average wage should be about 25 to 30 bucks, especially in skilled trades. And I think they really need to focus on unemployment. The fact, just because unemployment's down does not equate to the wages. It's just because our governor passed laws that made it harder for people to file unemployment. And that's the reason why those numbers are down.
David, Troy, thanks for the call. David, what are you hearing party insiders talk about on issues like and messaging around things like health care, wages, minimum wage, and that sort of thing?
I think Troy could be at home working for a Democratic candidate shop pretty much in any state around the country right now. One thing that his preferred candidate, Bernie, did get done in 16 and more recently is that while a lot of the Sanders-endorsed candidates have been flopping around the country in this midterm, the ideas, or some of the ideas that he pushed, really have gained traction. So Medicare for All is a pretty standard idea right now, and it wasn't 4 or 5 years ago. And, you know, the idea of higher wages, the $15 minimum wage at least, is now pretty standard in the Democratic Party and with candidates espousing that view. So I do think that there is going to be a renewed push by Democrats on health care and on wages. I think he's exactly right.
Troy, thanks for that call. David, there's a media narrative anyway that there's this disarray among Democrats between Bernie Sanders supporters like Troy and Hillary Clinton supporters, call it progressive versus moderate. People use different phrases. Talking to Wisconsin Democratic operatives and such, were they talking about that?
Yeah, well, I think there are still sharp divisions, and I think that there's still a lot of mistrust and frustration with the DNC. Just a couple of hours ago, the DNC, at least a committee of it, moved forward with a bid to, and they probably will adopt it, to reduce sharply the influence of superdelegates at the convention. And they're taking these kind of measures, that, and they're trying to limit caucuses, I think, and move to primaries to try to bridge that gap. And you've seen Bernie Sanders and others come out and praise that effort, but there are still lingering frustrations. And I think that has been in the midterms a real problem and could be in the Democratic primary.
And David, briefly, do you get the sense that Wisconsin Democrats are optimistic about the big ticket items here, the race for governor and U.S. Senate?
Yeah, I mean, the electorates are all, like, voters are always, they're always optimistic. They always think that they have a shot. I think what gives credible reason to that optimism is the special election victories that Democrats have had this year and the amount of money being spent in the state. Now, I'm not saying that means they're going to win, at the top. And I think Tammy Baldwin, I think she probably has a tough race in front of her, and these other races as well. But I do think that there are credible reasons to think that the Democrats are riding the ship there.
David, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's David Siders, national political correspondent at Politico, talking to us about his recent piece titled Shell-Shocked Democrats Regroup in Wisconsin.